Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO, expect great savings and a whole lot more.
What is up, Undebeatables? These are postcards from my 36th birthday. Just thought I'd give you all a couple thoughts as you do your podcasts. I can't tell you how disappointed I was with the efforts against Brooklyn and Boston. There was no sense of urgency. At the end of these games, I was ready to call for everyone's head. I was ready to fire Vogel, you know, not re-sign Hibbert and West. I just was over everyone and was convinced that we didn't care and couldn't figure out how to care. It reminded me of the end of last season, and I don't know how to respond to that. I mean, we had a chance to secure a playoff spot, and instead we shut it down. Instead, we looked like we stopped caring. So, there you go. Mailbags from birthday 36.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That must be Jerry Rice with some shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bouncy castle?
Hitler.
Just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacer fans. You are listening to The Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is April 5th, 2015, and this is episode 113. Company from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're covering the games against Dallas, Brooklyn, Boston, Charlotte, and Miami. Joining me are two of our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacer fans? It was a absolutely gorgeous day in the district today. 78, sunny. And shout out to the Wisconsin Badgers. And apologies to Superfan Bench for their defeat of the Kentucky Wildcats. And nobody cares what happens next, I think. Playing some team from North Carolina or something. I don't know. That's right.
I haven't heard of those guys.
Company from Seattle, Washington, out west, our enforcer, John Harper.
What's going on, fellas? Mixed week of basketball. I'm excited to talk about this. It's been way too long.
Roller coaster of emotions this week.
It's been a really long week of basketball.
Missing this week, John Colson, as you heard last week on the show, was his birthday. His birthday is very long. Very, very long birthday this year. So he's still out celebrating.
He hasn't found that ditch yet, so he's still... He's going to keep going until he passes out.
Well, you don't want to settle in ditches. You want to find just the perfect ditch for your state of inebriation.
Not too hard, not too soft, right. Not too cold. Mm-hmm.
Just grungy enough.
Right.
Yeah, just a sous-sauce of urine.
<your Oh, man. You guys, I'm this week I'm on the New Belgium Slow Ride Session IPA. I think, Harper, you've had this one before, right? Was this the one you had?
Triplettito.
Jason, but you had this one
before, yeah.
Yes.
It's quality. Do you like
it? I just remember... Yeah, I like it. I remember most you described it on the bottle. There's a, it's like a couch vehicle. That is
what. My favorite kind of vehicle.
I would get your feet up and get going, but it's like a bicycle couch. I like that.
Yeah,
but it's a good beer too. What are you drinking out east?
Well, I've been influenced by advertising this week. So when you watch the tournament, there's like four commercials that run over and over again, and one is for the Goose Island IPA, which is, we don't want to be the only beer you drink, we just want to be the best beer you drink. And when I was at the store, I think that was subconsciously in my mind, so I'm drinking a Goose Island IPA.
Is it the best beer that you
drink? It is not the best beer that but it's a
is
solid
it in the conversation
beer. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of citrusy. It's not hoppy enough for me for an IPA.
I'm not huge on citrusy.
What are you huge on this week?
Oh, I'm excited this week. Shout out to Nico. He smuggled across the Rockies a bunch of Bells for me.
Nice.
I'm drinking the Consecrator Doppelbeck. It is everything that a Bells beer should be.
Smuggled is one. That's a good name.
Yeah.
Speaking of those ads that are going over and over, they've got the rolling ads this year. Driving around Indy for the Final Four are the chicken fries, like SUVs, and they just drive around the city. Have you guys seen the chicken fries ads?
Yeah.
So they have these things, and they just drive around the city, and they got little the fries that are up on top of the cars. They just drive around. That's all they do.
Wow.
That's their job, is to drive around the city.
They don't actually make chicken fries?
Not on board, I don't think. I hope to God they don't make this on board.
Sounds completely safe.
Oh, my God.
So, as far as I can understand, a chicken fry is just an elongated chicken nugget, right?
I don't think you understand the essence of the chicken fries.
Okay.
But yes, it is just okay. It's just fried chicken.
Got it.
You've got the idea, but you're not understanding the essence.
I'm not hearing. I'm listening, but I'm not hearing.
Exactly. Oh. Let's get in some basketball. The first game was Pacers take on the Dallas Mavericks. It was actually while we were recording last week. It's kind of rude they scheduled the game then. But when I thought the Pacers, they came up winning 104-99. CJ Miles had a great game. You know, we're getting to the point of the season, particularly with the way that the Pacers have been playing. They got to win most of these games, and they end up sweeping the Dallas Mavericks for the year.
Yeah.
So good on you, Pacers. Jason, what were your takeaway from this game?
Well, this game, the Pacers were in a tailspin basically coming into this game. And really needed a win. Had lost four of their last five four straight home games. Sorry, and had they lost five, it would have been the first time since like 2007 or something like that that they lost five straight home games. So, I thought they came out and battled hard. It was a tight game basically the whole game, and pulled out a win down the stretch. Made clutch plays in the last, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. CJ Miles hit some big shots, and solid win.
Yeah, CJ Miles had a monster game. 9 of 12 from the floor, 5 of 6 from 3 and the line, 28 points, just a monster effort.
Mm-hmm.
He's shooting the ball well. We look very good. But you're right, we totally won this in the fourth quarter, outscored him 26-20 and won by 5, so...
Mm-hmm.
That's a playoff team in the West, and we played 48 with them.
Indeed we did. This game was so long ago, I really don't remember a lot from it, to be perfectly honest. So that's all I got. I feel like... So the one thing I wanted to say is that it seems like our team is a little reliant on the three-pointer. I think we'll talk about this later this week, too. But it seems like if we're hitting our threes, we have a good chance to win. And if we're not, then we have no chance to win, basically. Which is strange for a team constructed the way that we're constructed at some level.
Yeah, we took more threes than the Dallas Mavericks with Chandler Parsons back.
That's right.
Which, not necessarily a great sign, but we still, I mean, we shot almost 60% from three-point land. Only reason we won the game. Mm-hmm. And ended up 50% from the floor. We shot better from behind the arc than we did on the other side of it. So, yeah, you'll take it. Great win against a very, very good team. And, you're right. We just needed it so bad. We needed something good to happen.
I think something else important from this game was the Pacers wore the Flojos, and they are still undefeated in the Flojos. They're 5-0. Very impressive. They got one more game they're going to wear them in New York. Throwbacks on the roads. On the road. Which is pretty cool.
Since it's impossible to lose in them, we should kind of just wear them every night.
I mean,
I think that's what Frank said after the game. He was like, yeah, I think we just wear those all the time. I wish they would have worn them for the next game. That's for sure.
Did it not go well?
Oh, my goodness. Pacers take on the Brooklyn Nets. This one was tough to watch. Brooklyn wins 111. Pacers get 106. But man, it was just everyone was lethargic. I don't know, just crushing to watch this when you know that you can't lose too many games, and they don't look like they're trying to win the games.
Yeah, and this team was. You know, they're number seven. This is a team that we could catch and knock out of the playoff race. Just not a great effort. This wasn't a back-to-back?
No.
But it sure looked like one, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you give up 111 points to that team?
Yeah, I don't know. So I actually didn't see a ton of this game. I did watch. They actually have this cool feature. If you get League Pass, you get access to the website, and you can watch a condensed version of the game. So it's like a 30-minute, like, really crunch down, no free throws. Basically, you see almost every bucket at some level. So it was hard to get a sense of the flow of the game. The thing that I drew away from it was Deron Williams looks like Deron Williams again.
Yeah, he looked good.
He's moving very well. He looks healthy. And he's, you know, when he's healthy, he's one of the elite point guards in the league, or at least was, you know, 3 years ago or whatever. And Brooke Lopez just eats Roy Hibbert's lunch. That's the other thing I realized.
I hate that. He does that every time. I don't know why a big boy can't handle him.
No. He just can't, though.
Yeah, no, he can't. And that's, it seems like it's true every time we play him. On the bright side, we scored 106. That's impressive for us.
That is huge for us.
Although it means we were not playing Pacer basketball even a little bit, but hey.
That's right. Yeah, that was the other thing. The other thing about the condensed version is every play, basically, a basket is going to be made. So, like, you see a play and it's like the Pacers have the ball and you're like, yes! And then you just hope for all Pacer plays. And then, like, as soon as it flips to the Nets, you're like, God damn it. And then Bogdanovich is in the corner just, like, nailing a three in somebody's eye. And you're like, man, really? Come on.
Yeah, those are a little bit I've watched a couple of those before, and it's frustrating because it takes all of the, you know what's going to happen. Even if you don't know where it's coming from.
Right.
You know who's going to score.
There is occasionally there's a play, like, if there's one team starts with the ball and then it gets stolen and there's a fast break and a dunk. So there's that, you know, drama.
One thing I did not bet on was Allen Anderson picking up 20 points off the bench.
Mm. Yeah.
7 of 11.
That's three easy of four money, from, Joe. You should have.
Nope.
So, yeah, again in this one, shot 23 three-pointers. and also got out rebounded by the Nets. This is just totally a disappointing loss.
And what happened to CJ Miles in this game? He started, but then he was gone. He like pulled a hammy or something.
I thought it was an ankle, but
I think it's his ankle.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. Tweaked it. Not a long-term injury. Didn't help not having him, though.
Truth.
Right. This was the that was the back to back, the first part, the easy part of it. The second one, April Fool's Day, April 1st, Pacers. They're playing Boston. same thing, same story. You got to win this game, and Celtics end up taking this one 100-87. Evan Turner gets a triple double. If it's that kind of game, the Pacers have. George Hill plays nice, 21 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Just no urgency. It did inspire some really panicked and angry text messaging after the game.
Coulson is fire pissed.
Guilty.
Since Coulson's not here, Jason, I think clearly you should be fire pissed.
I am fire. I was really fire pissed after this game. I mean, second night of a back to back, sure, but we're in a situation where we're fighting for everything we can get, and this team just came out and laid a freaking egg, and there was nobody was like giving any effort or showed any heart, really. I mean, Kelly Olynyk had one eye, and he was just killing us. And Evan freaking Turner had a triple-double.
Yeah, that happened.
Like, somebody just knock him out. Like, can't we just... Ugh, God, just so frustrating.
Yeah, it seemed like they won every 50-50 ball down the stretch. Clearly, just looking like the hungrier team. Mm-hmm. And they knew how important this game was, and we didn't seem to. We didn't appreciate the moment, and we just wasn't really that close. I mean, we got throttled down the stretch.
We got outboarded by a team whose tallest player is Tyler Zeller, and he only had, like, 3 rebounds. So good job on you there. But, like, Jonas Jerebko, he's grabbing 8. Evan Turner, 11. Yeah, this just seemed like it was just effort plays all around. Like you said, every 50-50 ball, it seemed like Boston was on the floor and, like, trying to make things happen.
Yeah.
And we were not.
And this is the kind of team that Roy Hibbert needs to dominate, because they don't have a body to put on him that's, you know, legitimate and experienced. You can argue that Tyler Zeller has the size, but he is nowhere near the experience and maybe not really even the size. But he goes 3-9, only grabs 3 boards. No assists, just a bad game from him. George Hill is really the only bright spot in this game. He played his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
Ends up with 21, 6, and 6 on 9 of 11 shooting. But just no help at all. Rodney Stuckey played okay, I guess. But outside of that, just a really bad game. And we needed it.
Yeah. I couldn't really sleep that well, honestly, after this game. I was so angry, because I felt like that was the season, you know?
Yeah, I did too. I did too. In the third quarter, I started putting two and two together. I was like, oh, the season's over right now, and we're not going to go to the playoffs, and you know, I get to watch, you know, a couple more games of crappy basketball that don't matter, because they're just, you know, they're not going to care, and we're done here.
Mm-hmm. And I think I'm like most Hoosier fans. Like, if they were to lose, if they were to play hard and just be outskilled, or, you know, lose to some lucky play or something, I'd be fine with that. But it was you got to show me something. You got to show me some fight. Yeah. It's hard to cheer for a team when they're just like dogging it. And
yeah, I don't want to care more than the guys on the court.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I mean, where was Frank Vogel at halftime? Where was the fiery halftime speech to say, you know, come on, guys, we need to, you know, do better. And
this is a playoff game.
Yeah. Like, we were down, what, 50 to 35 or something at halftime, or 39. And, I mean, we came out with a bit better effort in the third, but definitely couldn't sustain it at all.
No. No. And, you know, it definitely looked like a back-to-back. But, I mean, at this point in the season, you just can't have that kind of effort let down against a team that you're vying directly with for a playoff spot. You just, I mean, again, you can't have it. It happened in the Brooklyn game. You know, we did a great job coming back. I think it was in the third quarter. We had a big third quarter in that game too, to climb back in it. But we were down 20 in that one to start. I mean, you can't do that.
Well, you got
to
spot him 20. I mean, that's the.
I thought Vogel learned last week. He said he had finally recognized the problem.
That's right.
Alas, we did not fix it. We need one more week, apparently, to stop spotting dudes 20.
Right. Enough of this game.
Yeah, this game sucked.
Well, let's move on. April 3rd, Pacers play the Charlotte Hornets. I tell you what, guys, it looked like a different team out there. They win this one. Some home cooking. They win this one 93-74. I'll tell you what, I think my stat of the game is that the Charlotte Hornets were allowed to score 9 points in the third quarter.
Yep. Wow.
9 points. Locked them down. And that was on top of a 13 in the second quarter, which leaves you right at 74 points. This game was just complete domination
by
the Pacers.
It ended up being that way, but weirdly, I watched this game on delay. Like, I, you know, was out at a jam sesh, so I didn't see it. And so I started watching it on delay, and, like, there was a point in the first quarter, late in the first quarter, the Pacers are down 9, I think, to Charlotte. I think it was 25-16, yeah, at some point. And I was like, man, it's just the same old thing over again. It was already late, so I was like, I don't want to watch this. So I just, like, skipped ahead to, like, the third quarter, and I was like, whoa, we're up 20. But by then I was too tired to, like, go back and watch. So I was like, okay, good. So you guys had a little, fill me in.
I had a little bit of a weird moment, too. I actually missed my wife and I were watching the game, and about halfway through the first quarter, we watched it, like, we start the game maybe, you know, half an hour after it actually starts. About the halfway through the first quarter, this is on the recording that we have, it switched over to, like, snowboarding. And then we're like, oh, no. I just fast forward, and it's like we miss basically until, like, halfway through the second quarter, it switches back to Pacer basketball. What? So I just missed an entire quarter. I don't know what happened. And then same kind of thing. They were down, and then they're all, you know, the bench was in there, and then they're up by 6 or something. So,
wow.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, we just put the clamps on defensively, you know, taking away all the passing lanes, really active hands, playing physical. Just really great effort. I don't know what was said in that locker room between the Boston game and this one. And certainly coming home helps. Both the Brooklyn and the Boston games, those are two road games. And, you know, those division or those, you know, those people that you're fighting for a spot in the playoffs, they're going to play you tough. But Charlotte's, you know, Charlotte needed this game too. And we just said not at our house. And we held them to 35% shooting on the night.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. I mean, because we've been talking about this for a few weeks now, that we've sort of lost our identity as a defensive stalwart, that we used to be able to do this to teams, to just shut them down for stretches at a time. So it's good to see that is back. And I'm sure it was easy for the coaching staff to put together a highlight reel of lazy defense from the Brooklyn and Boston games to
right. You just hit play.
Play out to the guys. Yeah.
Really good sign in this one, too. Al Jefferson held a 2-of-6 from the floor, doesn't make it to the line, gets one rebound, only plays 12 minutes. But if you can guard him at all, you know, that's a good thing. And once he got hurt, then they just don't have anybody to fill that space.
Mm-hmm. The other good thing for Joey's favorite player, Lance Stephenson, since it was a blowout, he actually got to play in this game. He had been riding a 2-DNP coach's decision stretch there. And did you hear this, Joey, that the reason was the coach, Steve Clifford, the Big Red Dog, or Big Red Coach, sorry, said, yeah, I can't find a lineup for him to work with. I can't find a lineup that he can play in and they do well, basically, is what he said.
That's a nice way of saying he's not playing well. Yeah.
I think that's kind of how, you know, what we had talked about before, a few months ago, maybe, where he's a shooting guard that can't shoot very well. His passing isn't going to help, you know, the ISO game that Jefferson's going to use. You don't need a lockdown defender on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really find one either for him right now.
Yeah, can't shoot well. Currently shooting a solid 16% from the three-point range on the season. 38% from the field overall.
Man, Josh Smith is feeling really good about himself somewhere right now.
And he's shooting 16% for the season, and he still takes almost 2 threes a game, which is just incredible.
Yeah, we should find where that lands him historically over a certain qualifying number, right?
Yes.
Because there can't be that many people that have taken that many threes and missed that many.
That's right. Yeah. We'll get our intern on this.
Lancy Pants.
That takes us to the last game of the week, Sunday night. Pacers still at home. Take on the Miami Heat. Pacers win this one 112-89. I think big news for the night. CJ Watson, sore elbow, misses the game.
Yeah, that's pretty much all that happened, I guess.
Also of note, this win, you know, we talked about the Pacers having a home, a 500 or better record at home for the longest streak in the NBA at 26 years, I think, right now. This win clinched them.
Clincher!
That was my goal for the season, and they achieved that tonight.
Sweet. We also hit the Vegas over.
Nice.
Maybe that was with the Charlotte game, but...
Yeah.
Take that, Vegas. / Joey.
I thought the starters played all right tonight. David West, 12 points. Solomon Hill picked up 19. Solomon, pretty aggressive. CJ Miles.
Wait, did you say the score?
112-89. Pretty big win.
Okay. Pretty big win.
Miles. But I thought the bench played really well tonight. Scola was a monster. 23 points. 12 rebounds.
That's right.
Yeah. That was about it for the game, I think.
That was it, Joey? One other thing, maybe.
More postcards from John 36th. Just finishing up the game against Miami. A team that we need to beat and is ahead of us in the standings to make the playoffs. PG's back. How good is he? I mean, he took 8 months off basketball, scores 13 points in 15 minutes, and helps the team absolutely rout Miami. This is what I was always hoping. I mean, we took a huge step back losing to Brooklyn and Boston, gave ourselves an inkling of hope by beating Charlotte, but we're still in the game, you know? Charlotte was ahead of us. We still probably won't make the playoffs, and it'll be because we had no sense of urgency earlier in the season, but there's still hope. And if PG continues to progress, the sky's the limit. I think Brooklyn still falls apart. Thoughts?
Oh, Paul George is on the bench tonight. His first game of the season.
He's back.
Not in a suit.
He's back. He back.
He was back. 13 points. I was really, actually, he looked good. I forgot. That guy was pretty good. That guy's good.
Oh, yeah.
He is super good. I mean, obviously, yeah. There were some fumbles and, you know, just got a ridiculous charging call on a fast break when he just had no plan. He didn't know what he was going to do. He was just really excited. His eyes got really
just grabbed
big.
The ball with two hands and just ran into a guy. That's right. And then looked around like someone had fouled him.
That's right. But overall, I thought he looked good. Hit a couple threes. Hit three threes, actually. You know, really active. Jumped and, you know, put his body in situations where, you know, he had to just react and reacted well, you know. He looked stronger, actually, than he was last year. Uh-huh. There was a play down low on the baseline when he got it there and kind of backed his way in and missed a layup. But, you know, reminded you that he's a elite player in this league and can get basically wherever he wants, whenever he wants.
Yeah, he had a bunch of great defensive plays, but there's one he basically tipped the ball twice. Ultimately, gets himself sort of steals into an outlet pass to himself, all alone, and probably should have gone up for the dunk, but he got stuck in no man's land and bricked the layup. But I mean, again, that's just kind of the fear of contact. That's why you got to play these games, because that's what you don't get in practice, mm-hmm. right? There's no amount of mental preparation that can get you really ready. For being prepared for that contact. So it was just great to see him out there. The Absolutely. Crowd was so hyped. Every time he came out on the floor, everybody was on their feet and screaming. Except for Joey. I'm sure Joey was.
No, I was politely clapping. It was. No, yeah.
Was there a palpable?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They handed out these big yellow cards they were supposed to put up when he checked in. And yeah, I mean, when he stood up, you know, and you know, was going to check in, the place starts going nuts. And you know, when he first time he touched the ball, they go nuts. The first time he hit hit a basket, the place goes nuts. Basically, anytime he did anything, that the place just, you know, was lighting up. They're waiting all season for this guy. He's the key to the franchise going from.
That's right.
You know, a borderline playoff team to, a championship contender.
Yeah. The thing that I forgot, I mean, obviously you sort of mentally know how good, I think we can all agree that he's one of the top five two-way players in this league, if not higher than that. But you forget how smooth his game is. Mm-hmm. I mean, even with the sort of rustiness and fear of contact, his game is just so silky. I think it was the second shot he hit. He was kind of, free throw line in and ends up going with a, you know, sort of a running jumper. And he thought he was drawing contact, but just cans the thing and doesn't get the whistle. Mm-hmm. Just even awkward plays he makes look good. Mm-hmm.
And just you forgot. Fun to watch. I forgot how big he was.
Like, yeah, he's a big dude.
He can just shoot so over whoever's guarding him, which is just fantastic, too. So,
and, too, Denari was talking about how, you know, Paul George said that he'd learned so much watching the film. Mm-hmm. Obviously you could spend a lot more time watching film, and it was just a great play down the stretch. They played us a ton of zone because they were without Hassan Whiteside and Chris Anderson this game,
mm-hmm.
which means that they had some awkward lineups out there with Dwayne Wade playing four and all sorts of other mess. But yeah, lots of 2-3 zone. And we get a pick right on the three-point line. George immediately recognizes the zone and just spots up and cans it. Mm-hmm. Just immediate recognition, which is just great to see. Such smart basketball.
Yeah.
I love it.
The Pacers as a team were doing that a lot. CJ Miles found himself wide open a few times in the corner. They were looking for that. He hit 5 threes on the night. He came out on fire. Yeah, and I thought this game was close. The first half, it was basically tied at halftime. I think Pacers were up by 2 or something. And then came out...
A little mini run, and we're up 4.
Yeah, okay. And then kind of put the clamps on in the third quarter there, and bridging into the fourth quarter. And really, it was PG that hit a couple shots to kind of turn the tide and got the moment, got the crowd really going crazy.
Yeah.
And the guys fed off of that. And like you alluded to earlier, Joey, Scola's effort and just energy was crucial tonight.
And not only was he got a lot of these boards, which led to, you know, kept balls alive that, you know, you thought were going to be given away, and you know, getting weird old man baskets out of it.
Yeah.
It was really, just really impressive.
He's every bit as unsmooth as Paul George is smooth, but the ball exactly. goes in the hoop, so.
And he still puts up 21 and 12 or whatever.
Yeah, great double-double, just amazing effort. You know, the guy who should benefit most from Paul George coming back really should be Roy Hibbert. Not a great night off the floor from him, despite how shorthanded the Heat were, but really good energy from the big guy. Mm-hmm. Really did a good job patrolling the paint. Only got three blocks, but affected a whole bunch more, which is the Hibbert that we know and love, right?
That's right.
The blocks, you know, that's the tip of the iceberg. He's affecting so many other shots.
Yeah, he was very active on the glass, I thought. I mean, he only ended up, I think, with like 7 rebounds or something, but mm-hmm. 6 of those were offensive, so he's really crashing the glass. And he still looks out of sorts in the post. He kind of lost his rhythm there the last few weeks. And especially, you know, we talked about against a team like Boston or, you know, Brooklyn, I guess, that he should be dominating these smaller lineups or whatever. Yeah. And Miami's another one of these teams that has zero bigs, especially if Whiteside's out. But he still couldn't get a rhythm going. Really,
my favorite thing that Hibbert was doing during the game was setting these high screens, you know, trying to get one of the guards open. But he just kept pegging Tyler Johnson repeatedly. Like he would hit him 3 times in the same play, like 3 different ones. And Johnson looks like a little boy out there anyway, but he just wasn't getting it that Hibbert's just going to keep hitting him.
I do want to, typically I hate on Dwayne Wade, but I want to give him a shout out for this game. He was clearly battling some knee problems, and this team clearly, you know, he was kind of, it's him and Dragic, basically, have to carry this team. And he put in yeoman's work on this evening, I thought. Put up, what did he end up with, 27 or something? You know, had a bunch of these like crazy leaner shots that you thought had no chance of going in, but that they would go in. And
yeah,
he's a pro, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Hill and Miles and really everybody did a pretty good job on him, but he still hit 11 to 21. I mean, there's always so much you can do.
Yeah,
great players hit great shots sometimes, and
truth,
he hit 11 of them.
Yep.
The other thing of note in this game. Shout out to Goran Dragic for a super low, dirty blow to David West in this one. I thought he was getting ejected because earlier this week against the Mavs, Sean Livingston gave Nowitzki the business and got suspended for a game. So I really thought they'd toss him for it because it was not an accident.
You don't?
No, it wasn't an accident. I thought he disguised it well enough, though, that you couldn't quite tell that it was intentional. That.
Okay, because
it was
well. We were watching from the game, and actually we had really good seats, so we were relatively near that play. And I heard him scream, "What?" And then we watched the replay, and it didn't look too dirty to me, but I'll take your word for it.
I mean, yeah, basically he's coming over a screen, and David West is flashing out, basically. Mm-hmm. And so Dragic goes to the left to go around him, but keeps his arm out. Just and gets him right in the Hibberts right there. It's one of those things that he could easily have gotten his arm back, but he just definitely left it out there.
Yeah. I feel like it was in for a second, and he was like, "Oh, maybe we'll just let the old champ play out."
Yeah, I don't know. Happened kind of fast. There was another dirty-ish play with Chalmers down the stretch where he kind of threw Scola to the ground. But I think that was more a momentum and balance kind of thing.
Yeah, I saw that one, too. I did see that one.
It was a hard foul, it was a good playoff foul.
It was a good Heat-Pacers foul. Like, these guys don't like each other.
No, I actually thought the refs let him play a little bit too much. Mm. And then they tried to really tighten it up once the Dragic thing happened. Mm. It didn't spiral out of control at all. But they were basically calling it, for the most part, like a playoff game. And it's not really that yet. Mm. So you got to be careful it doesn't get out of control.
Yep. But so, yeah, I guess I had totally given up on the Pacers circa Wednesday night. And then now they win two straight games, and now we're a game out of the playoffs here. Ironically, right behind Brooklyn and Boston, two teams we just played.
Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah. 5 games left to play. We can totally – we're obviously still in this.
Well, Coulson told me we were winning 43 this year, so we should be fine.
Is that – I don't think that's mathematically possible.
No, it does. Coulson said it.
Okay, got it. Cool.
Sticking by that prediction.
Well, we got a tough stretch coming up. The last 5 games, we play at New York, as mentioned earlier, in the Flojos.
Yeah.
And then at Detroit, who has not been playing poorly lately, I wouldn't say, but not necessarily playing well. So the Knicks game is Wednesday, Detroit Friday, and then Sunday versus Oklahoma City back at the Fieldhouse. That'll be a good one. Then rounded out versus the Wizards, and then at the Memphis Grizzlies.
On a back-to-back.
On a back-to-back, of course.
But both on national TV, so there's that.
Yep, and totally winnable games. I mean, Memphis is, they are third in the West right now, but they've been kind of sliding lately. And maybe they're resting guys. Maybe they're locked into a position at that point. I don't know, just got to win ball games.
Got to win ball games, and we're gonna have to win a few road games down the stretch. And we have not looked good on the road recently, so got to figure it out.
Well, you guys keep talking about the playoffs, and I certainly am excited for this. I want the team to get there, but I read an article this week on IndyCornrows.com by Matt Andreessen, and the title is "Dear Coach Vogel." On behalf of Pacers fans everywhere, please stand down. And it's not the fact that he's always walking around, because he is.
He's a Pacer.
Is he hanging out with Coulson and he wants to fire Vogel?
He wants Vogel to call.
Because he's a Pacer.
So, hey-o! Clever. Clever. No, he's calling for Vogel basically to rest some guys. To let them let the guys with the sore muscles maybe sit a game. Stand down, as in maybe let's go for the lottery instead of the playoffs. This actually is also my stat of the week.
Joey, stat of the week.
And it's a number of times I agreed with this article. It was none. Zero.
Mm.
We're not tanking.
I agreed once. Frank Vogel is our coach.
That is.
I got the one.
Now, did he write this? When was this?
It was April 2nd.
Okay, I'm fine with that then. I'm totally fine with that. I would have written that article on April 2nd.
This was right after the Celtics game.
That's right.
But the thing is, we get upset, and we send off text messages, which we did. None of them were happy. They were in the tone of this. But I never for a second thought that losing these last games was going to be better in the long run. You want
to
call?
No, I just figured we wouldn't have the capability to win any more games. I didn't want us to intentionally lose them. Right. I figured we wouldn't win.
I agree with you there, but asking Vogel to not try to win these last games was not. You don't ever want that. You know the management does that. They give you bad players. You know, look at Philadelphia. They trade away your good players for draft picks down the line. You know, I think the team still needs to give every ounce of effort to get to the playoffs and do as best as you can, and then, you see what happens. You want the culture winning. You don't want Solomon Hill, who's, you rely on this guy coming up in the future. You don't want to see him, seeing the team take the last, you know, 2 weeks of the season off.
The really confusing thing about the article to me was that he was explicit in saying that, almost explicit. He wouldn't actually say the word tank. He would just use the word T in quotes. Mm-hmm. But he was explicit that he didn't want to do that, yet at the same time was saying don't win ball games. It was I didn't understand exactly what the differentiation was. Like, it's only tanking if you do it wire to wire during the season. I mean, you're tanking, right?
Or maybe tanking is like intentionally throwing ball games. Like,
well, I don't think anyone really believes that. I mean,
okay, right.
My argument has always been that players play.
Right.
Players don't want to lose. Management may want to lose. Front office may want to lose. But you'd have to hire a coach specifically if you wanted him to lose. I mean, these guys get paid.
That's right. Yeah, players play and coaches coach to win at all times, yeah. I think. It's just innate to the positions, right? To those jobs, yeah.
And they pride in what they do.
One could be inept at that job, but that, you know, but your goal is to win the game, right?
Yeah. There's just, you know. And furthermore, there's no point in saying to someone, oh, please don't win the rest of these games. We were playing so bad on that day. I think we can all agree. It didn't matter what lineup we were putting out there. It didn't look like we were winning another game, right? So you don't have to come out and say, tank, we were doing a plenty good job of losing ball games all on our own, yeah. Right? Every win is a positive, right? So you do what you can. Joey, you're right. It's about a culture. And you don't want to start telling guys that it's not okay to give 100, you know, give less than 100% on game
day, right.
Ever.
That's right.
That's how you lose in Boston.
Yeah.
That's the problem, not the solution, right?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Pacers, you put me through a freaking ringer this week.
It was up
and now I need you to win, because I'm going to be really sad if we don't win and don't make the playoffs. Especially because Paul George is back, and I want to see this guy play. I forgot how fun it was to watch him play, you know? It was giddy. It was legitimately giddy this evening.
Yeah, it was it was cool.
And technically, they play like they played against Miami in particular, but both these last two games against Charlotte, they could do some damage. Mm-hmm. And Paul George, you know, he clearly is still rusty, like some of these plays we talked about. The no man's land, half dunk, half layup.
That was hilarious.
But Scola was right there to lay the ball in anyway.
Scola got that right. In. Absolutely.
Scola's been watching him practice. He knows what's going to happen.
Scola knew he was going to run out of steam. He can't sprint for more than 20 feet.
Yeah, and it was way down, way up this week. Emotions are on a roller coaster. Let's do some work.
Let's end it. I'm going to go rewatch Paul George. So let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
Well, before we go, just to kind of give a wrap up here. So as you mentioned, Jason, in seventh place, the Nets, eighth place, the Celtics. I don't think we own either of those tiebreakers.
Nope.
After this week. So we're a game and a half off Brooklyn and a game off the Celtics. But you need to add a half game to both of those for us to actually secure a playoff spot. You mentioned our schedule remaining. Boston has at Detroit, at Cleveland, at home against Cleveland.
That's nice.
First Toronto and at Milwaukee. So five games remaining for them.
Wow. And four against playoff teams.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Cleveland still wants to win games. Mm-hmm. So... that is not an easy stretch, but I still think that Brooklyn is the weaker team. They've got, on Monday, Portland at home, Atlanta at home, though Atlanta has been struggling, Washington at home, then they travel to Milwaukee, they've got at home Chicago, and then they get the gift of at home Orlando, but that's not an easy out.
Mm.
They could lose some games, so we're still alive. I mean, at this point we can't afford to lose a single game. We need the help, but the door's not shut.
No, definitely not. Let's do it, boys.
Go Blazers.
That's right.
All right, now we can go.
Well, let's get out of here then. It's fun to watch what our team is supposed to be playing like.
All we have to do is hold every team to 35% shooting for the rest of the year, and we should be fine.
9 points a quarter.
Yep. This seems feasible.
Achievable goals. Keep it simple.
Exactly. Until next time, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We are on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. The website is TheUndebeatables.com. There is a contact form there. You can review us on iTunes. Really helps new listeners find our show. We've got t-shirts for sale.
And for John Colson and Bobby Slicklinard, our former, once and former... Now Hall of Fame
Once
coach.
Always.
Turn out the lights. Party's over.
Oh, you're going to spoil me.
That was pretty good. Do you guys ever listen to Colson's ones and feel like he's intentionally making it terrible?
No. Not Colson.
He would not play with our emotions like that.
It's like... Over the first, you know, whatever, 100 shit plus shows he's been doing it, like he ran out of good ones, and they all got to be different, you know?
Yeah.
Wait, that implies that he had good ones in him.
Well,
I don't ever.
I don't mean outside, I mean in his head.
So, the other week, the Undebeated Nation voted LaVoy Allen in the 25th spot as my most favorite pacer of all time. And I think looking back on it in retrospect, it was the right move because LaVoy Allen comes in the second quarter in the middle of the Charlotte game and posts 6 points and five rebounds, energy and hustle, does all the little things, and turns a deficit into a rout. I mean, he was one of the factors. And you know, the Pacers played angry and they played like the better team, and it gives you hope for, you know, after dismal losses against Brooklyn and Boston, it gives you hope for a playoff push. So thank you, LaVoy Allen, Chef Boyardee.
Old soapy years Colson, we called him.
Nice.